You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What a game on
Sunday. Wouldn't you be bent if you were a Lions fan? You basically gave up Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff.
Well, the organization is so, I don't know how, watching Matthew Stafford now, I don't know how it's possible that the Lions were that bad this long. You look what he's done to the Rams offense. He's transformed. We'll get back to that. Joining us right now is Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. Hey, Ryan.
What's going on?
Hey, so the question we just asked, if you had no choice, you have to either be bald or have a mullet for the rest of your life, which one would you choose?
I think my head's probably a weird shape. I'm going to go mullet. I had that in college, you know, many years ago.
So I think that's a wise choice.
The mullet is underrated. I think it may make a comeback.
Okay, so Ryan, we got a bunch of stuff we want to get into with you, but let's start here. Who plays quarterback this week for USC?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question because last night we heard from Dante Williams, and it just seems like it's going to be up in the air. We know Keaton Slovis had that neck strain. He said he was supposed to practice this week, and we're going to find out today when we go to practice. But last night we also heard from Trojans Live and Dante Williams that Jackson Dart is day-to-day right now, so probably won't be practicing when we go out there today. For all we know, it could be Miller Moss, the other true freshman that we saw one snap from in the game against Washington State. So we'll go to practice this afternoon and find out. But, guys, it could be anyone come this Saturday.
Let's say injury aside, because I got a lot of USC friends. So does John. I don't know anybody who doesn't want Jackson Dart. I mean, if both are healthy, Keaton Slovis has done a great job, but Jackson Dart adds a new dimension. I just saw some fire from that team when he was out there. I think he's got to be the starter if he's healthy. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a very popular sentiment, Mace, because, in sports, college sports, NFL, the backup quarterback is pretty popular, and Jackson Dart certainly is. And because he adds that element of being able to run, you know, he can take off with his feet, and when a play breaks down, similar to what we saw from Sam Darnold, when maybe the offensive scheme wasn't the best, but Sam Darnold could make something happen. And it looks like Jackson Dart has some of those similar features. But I would say, I mean, I don't know if you want to get Wally Pipped in this situation. Keaton Slovis has done some really good things for USC. And I think if he got to play against Washington State the entire game and didn't get hurt, you'd probably see some similar numbers from him too. So I would be a little cautious of just going right into Jackson Dart on this one because, you know, Keaton Slovis has done a lot of good stuff. But from what we heard from Dante Williams, they wanted to play a little bit more Jackson Dart. They wanted to put some packages in for him, short yardage situations, goal line, things like that. So that tells me Dante Williams is definitely high on Dart. So if it's close, Macy might be right. We might be seeing the Jackson Dart era begin.
Well, we're talking to Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. Ryan, what has happened to Slovis? I mean, he was preseason all Pac-12. A lot of people thought he was on the NFL's radar based on what he had done previously at USC. Is this drop-off completely unexpected? Is there not really a drop-off and just Dart had that one monster game and everybody's forgetting about Slovis? Or what happened to Slovis?
No, it's a great question again. I feel like we've seen this happen at USC a lot. Quarterbacks seem to regress after their first year, even like Sam Darnold did after that freshman season. We saw Slovis in 2019 just tear it up. You know, he had a few 400-yard games, did really well. Last year, statistics weren't quite there, and the ball didn't look like it was coming out of his hands as clean. It looks like he's throwing a cleaner ball, but overall, guys, it just seemed like the offense wasn't quite working. Now, I don't know if there was a correspondence to, having Dante Williams come in and making a few changes and just kind of having a new focus, but it didn't even look like the air raid through the last couple of games. They used a lot of two tight end sets. They were trying to run the football more. It just didn't seem like something wasn't working. And it's going to be interesting to see if Dart ends up starting on Saturday, whoever it is, if they're able to keep that going. Is it more of a, the offense was tweaked a little bit, it was the quarterback. So I think all that's still kind of up in the air. But I like the way Slovis was playing better through the first couple of games as opposed to what we saw last year, just throwing the football better. But to me, the offense itself just looked a little bit off to me.
Yeah, there's no flow to the offense. I just felt the there was on Saturday. There wasn't in the Stanford game, and I didn't see it in the San Jose State game either. I just didn't think there was any flow, any identity to the offense. It was kind of all over the place. It really wasn't the air raid. Like you said, it was two tight end sets. So now we're shifting over to the coaching search. As you know, there is great speculation in the lands about who might be the next head coach at USC. What's the sentiment from fans that you're hearing from? What kind of guy do they want?
I mean, it's all over the place. And we've seen USC over the years make really bad decisions when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, from the athletic director just hiring former football players to, you know, more lazy kind of hires, familiar hires for head coaches. And I think for USC fans, you have to have some confidence that Mike Bone comes in here, him and Brandon Sostner know what they're doing. And they're going to use the entire, you know, as much of the time that they have available to them to kind of vet everyone out and go through the process, interview people, and actually do analysis on these guys and see who would be the actual best fit to be USC's next head coach. I mean, you start with Dante Williams, who's already there, and he's going to start, you know, building his resume over the next few games, and then, you know, go out through everywhere in college football, outside of college football, NFL, wherever you got to go. I think it's going to be a better process. And just the way we found out about, or we didn't find out about, Clay Helton being fired last week, was just over a week ago. The fact that they were able to keep that in house, I think it just shows you it's much more of a button-down athletic department right now than it was before. But, you know, I like some of the names out there, like a Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, who Mike Bone already hired, you know, James Franklin at Penn State, and Matt Campbell's done a great job at Iowa State. I think there's some really good, proven college.
What about guys with NFL ties, Ryan? What about guys with NFL ties?
I mean, I'm okay with it. I'd rather see someone that has college experience. You know, we're like a Bill O'Brien, who was NFL head coach, but he's now at Alabama. That's a name that's come up before. But, you know, someone like, you know, I mean, anyone that's just like a NFL, Eric Bieniemy, anyone that's like an NFL coordinator, I think it's a pretty big jump to go and become a college head coach if you don't have that kind of college experience.
Yep, I completely agree with you, Ryan. We've been debating that around here. All right, I'm going to give you some names. I just want you to tell me, do they get considered? Do they get a phone call? All right. Mason poo-poos a lot of these names, but you tell me, Ryan, if these people get a call, okay? Ready?
Sure. Yeah.
Lane Kiffin.
I don't think he'll get a call just because the athletic department knows the kind of failings from before. So I don't think he would get a call.
Okay. Dabo Swinney.
I mean, that's such a pipe dream kind of thing. Like, it's someone that you could back channel, but that's, he's someone you should want to consider, but for him to leave Clemson, I think would be nearly impossible. So they probably wouldn't bother calling, but, you know, someone they would definitely like to if they found out he had some kind of interest.
All right. How about this one? Pete Carroll.
He's already come out and said no. He's like in his 70s now, right? Yeah.
Right.
So I think they would probably stay away from like the old. They've kept, you know, recycling people. So I think even though he would probably kill it still, I think they'd kind of stay away from the recycling.
Somebody said,
stuff.
By the way, we've always gone back to these guys with Pete Carroll ties. Somebody called in last week and said, I don't even want anybody who's ever had dinner with Pete Carroll to be
considered. It's actually a fair thing to say with Ryan. You know why. I mean, there are people that hate that fraternity. All right. How about Mario Cristobal?
You know, I think he's someone that you would have to consider. That win at Ohio State was impressive. He's recruiting the hell out of Southern California. But I would say there's a lot of animosity between the two programs right now. So my guess is it probably wouldn't happen. But I think it's someone that they should definitely, you know, at least reach out to and see. The problem is, if you do, then they could say, USC tried to hire us, and see, we're better than, you know, it's one of those things on a recruiting trail you could probably use.
Okay, so I've heard a couple of weird rumors. I just want you to tell me if you buy them, okay? That Carol Folt is focused on getting a minority head coach. You think there's anything to that?
You know, I haven't heard that. I think that's something that, I mean, just having Dante Williams as being USC's first African-American head coach, I think they, you know, they're proud of that. But I don't think it's anything that they're going to say, we need to get that. But if it was someone that wasn't minority, I think it would be welcome. But I haven't heard specifically, like, coming from the president's office, that that's what, where they want to focus on. I think she's, you know, they probably have to have final approval, but I think she's going to let Mike Bone and Brendan Sosna do what they need to do.
Okay, and last thing for you. What's the timing of this, in your opinion? When would you expect an announcement?
So the if we learned anything from the last few years, the early signing period has changed all of this. So that's in, you know, late December. That's made things you have to do things a lot faster. The timeline's a lot different. It makes it harder to sign someone from the NFL because their season ends so much later. And even if it's a team that's making a, you know, Penn State makes the playoffs, like, are you going to be able to wait until January to bring in your head coach if you had wanted to get James Franklin? So I think it's good that they have this extra time to sort of vet and see how the season progresses. But I would think if you can get someone in November, late November, early December, that would be ideal. If you could sign, you know, if you can announce something earlier, but my guess would be you want to give them as much lead time as possible, a month or so heading into that early signing period, because it's so important. You know, basically 95% of your recruiting class is signed in December now, instead of February.
Last thing for you. I've been talking about the Dante Williams effect. When they were down 14-0 and Keaton Slovis got hurt, I basically threw in the towel. They ended up scoring, what, 45 consecutive points, 45 unanswered. So what's the rest of this season look like? I still think the schedule looks very, very easy to me. What can this team do?
Yeah, it's a very manageable schedule. It was from the beginning, and I think that's why part of the reason why Clay Helton was let go when he was, because they just expected this team to come out 5-0, and Utah's not looking great. Their starting quarterback just, you know, entered the transfer portal. Arizona State's got a cloud over them. So yeah, UCLA just got. I'm sorry, John, but you know they.
Sorry,
I think
John.
UCLA's
it's
still
a whole
really
new
good.
World, right?
It's a whole new world, he said.
But I think it's a very manageable schedule, and it's
okay,
set up well for Dante Williams to go through.
So Ryan, I've told Mason because he's the USC fan on this show. I said, The nightmare scenario for him is that Dante Williams runs the table and Mike Bone repeats what they did with Clay Helton. They give the interim guy the top job. Now, nothing against Dante. He seems very competent and smart, but I think they need a big name. If he does what Mason is suggesting, if he has a magical run here and wins most, if not all of these games, does Dante Williams get considered for the head job?
I mean, I think he would have to be considered, but what I do know about these guys, you know, Mike Bone and Sosna, is that they're going to make an evaluation based on what they think he could be as the permanent head coach at USC. And if he wins all his games and they still don't think that's the right man for the job, I don't think they would hire him. But if they do, I mean, maybe he could go 8-2 and they think, oh, wow, he's a guy, and they could hire him that way. So I think they're going to do a thorough evaluation, hire him or not, based on what they project him to be the next head coach. But it seems like a tall tale to go undefeated like that. There's going to be some issues with this team because it's just, you know, there's a lot of transition stuff going on. But that's definitely something to consider if he goes through and wins it all. I mean, it'll be pretty impressive.
Even if he wins out, no. That's what I say. Even if he wins out, no. You've got to go out and get a name. There's a spot for him on the staff without question.
What if he makes it to the playoff?
It's so unlikely. The Pac-12 is so bad.
Right, but you just said the schedule's manageable. So
no, but I'm saying that when they judge us, they're going to say, yeah, but I mean, Utah and Stanford's not a great team. All these teams aren't very good. I think they're going to hold that against us.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think if he does make a playoff run or win a playoff game, that's the way you would consider it. Like winning the South, I don't think that's going to be enough. Even winning the Pac-12, I'm not sure. But if it's really like you win out and USC is like in the playoff conversation or going to make the playoff, then you probably would have to. But I think short of that, it might be tough. I agree with Mace. You kind of need to get a big name here because they've screwed up the hires so many times in the past.
Yep.
This is your one opportunity to get a big name.
All right. Hey, Ryan, thanks for coming out.
Thank
USCfootball.com is necessary if you are a USC Trojan fan. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Oh, I got a little nugget. I'll tell you next about Eric Bieniemy.
Okay.
I've changed my opinion on Eric Bieniemy.
Really?
Yeah,
that
an insider just texted me and told me some information I want to pass along.
Okay.
Coming up next for you, I actually want to ask a totally random question.
Excellent.
Think about this. Mm-hmm. What is the single greatest album of all time? Single greatest music album of all time.
Well, it's subjective, but the answer should be one of three, and I'll tell you what they are.
Okay, go.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Yeah.
Little Green Day. We'll talk about that in a minute. I got this little nugget, John. So when Mike Bone, this is an insider, when Mike Bone was AD at Colorado, Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator on the staff that won 3 games in 2 years. They all got fired and basically got Bone fired. Don't see him going back down that well for a coach who has never been a college head coach.
I think that would be true. And also, at one point, Eric Bieniemy got banned from the Colorado campus.
Right, right.
So that baggage probably takes him off the short list.
Yep, no question.
Can we just talk about something real fast?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So Mason in the break says, "Hey, Jorge, can you come back with American Idiot?"
Yeah.
And then it plays. He says, "Yeah, let me change this for a second. I'm going
to
pivot to something else."
Wait a minute!
I said I would get to the nugget about.
But why ask for the song and then pivot away from it?
Because we're spinning plates here.
We're spinning plates at the same time.
All right.
We're plate spinners. All right. So I want to rephrase this question. So 2004, on this date, American Idiot by Green Day was released. And for me, that is one of my favorite albums of all time. And I think the question is, what is your favorite album of all time instead of what is the greatest album of all? I like not the Rolling Stone magazine, here's the top five kind of thing, but what is your favorite album of all time?
All right, I didn't know you were going to ask me this, so I will tell you the two albums. And by the way, I like a whole album. Now, in modern day music, people will release singles.
Singles, right.
But rarely will people buy.
Albums kind of told a story.
When you and I were growing up in music, it would be like a whole album, something you could put on from start to finish.
Right.
All right, so it's probably one of two.
Okay.
The first one that popped into my head that I used to put on all the time and play it start to finish is Prince, Purple Rain.
Yeah, that's on my list of top five. No question
about
it.
But I think the greatest album, start to finish, with hit after hit after hit, and you can't believe these are all in the same album, is Fleetwood Mac, Rumors. That would be it for me.
It sold like a billion copies.
Yeah, I think the best-selling albums of all time were Thriller,
yeah.
Michael Jackson, and Carole King, Tapestry, which is unbelievable.
Really, yeah, it's unbelievable.
But Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, to me, because it came out when I was in high school.
Yep.
And everybody I know had it. Everybody had it. I don't know anybody who didn't have it.
It's kind of a personal question, right? It's about where you were in life and what you were doing at that time. And
all in the same album, okay?
Yep.
It had Dreams, Go Your Own Way, You Make Love and Fun, Don't Stop. I mean, it just, the hit after hit after hit after hit, and everybody I knew owned it. So that would be my answer.
Bergman, what about you?
I'm trying to think. I'm going in between a couple also. So. Okay. For the most part, I think the one that I played the most and I loved the most was Sublime 40 Ounces of Freedom, which I thought was an incredible album from start to finish.
Album, yeah.
It was really, really strong. It could have been the Beatles and Abbey Road, because I think from start to finish is fantastic. And especially the way that the medley at the end, really, really strong. So I think those are the two that I'm kind of going
Jorge, what about you?
Well, like you said, in high school, I was into hip-hop and all kinds of stuff. So something I used to, like, just play a lot was Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
That's his first album. So, yeah, that's something I see. Or the blueprint, that's the second one. So, yeah.
Mason, what's yours?
I think, well, American Idiot's top five, but I think it is Purple Rain. I think Purple Rain is my favorite album of all time because it was part of a movie. It does tell a story.
Oh,
also,
man.
I mean, I love Nirvana, Nevermind. I love, personally, I love U2, All That You Can't Leave Behind, which is just personally a great album. It reminds me of a particular time in my life. I think it's got to be Purple Rain is the one. And it is, that one was hit after hit after hit, too. I was a DJ at that time. And I'll never forget putting on that single. I was doing 7 to midnight, and I was doing top 9 at 9 every night on 93QWRQN. And they handed me that single to put on for the very first time, When Doves Cry. And I heard that.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is like nothing I've ever heard in my life. Oh, damn you, Jorge. Damn you. Okay. This is from All That You Can't Leave Behind. And this is the song that gets stuck in my head and I can't get rid of it.
Our mutual friend Jay Moore just sent me a great suggestion.
Okay.
He says, track for track, check out Led Zeppelin 2. Put it up against Purple Rain. Track for track, it's like Ollie Frazier. He's right. On Led Zeppelin 2, it has Whole Lot of Love, Heartbreaker, Livin' Lovin' Maid, and my favorite Led Zeppelin song of all time, Ramble On.
Yeah.
All on the same album.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's in there, too.
What is your favorite, not the greatest, because I know you're going to say Pet Sounds and Sgt. Pepper, but what is your favorite album of all time? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We'll get some of your calls in here.
It is very subjective.
Oh, yeah. It's about your time in life, right?
Right, and it's what you were doing at the time the album came out.
Yes.
You know, that plays it. Like Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life is another one. Just monster hit after monster hit. It just depends on how old you were and what you were doing.
Right, exactly. All right, so we'll get to that. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, always reach the show at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. You can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. I also want to get into the Rams and Tampa coming up. Because SI has released their power rankings this week, and we're going to see a great game on Sunday, the best game of the weekend by a lot. That's coming up for you, too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, okay, it's not Million Dollar Monday, first of all, Chris Morales. I just want to correct you. Yesterday was Million Dollar Monday, but don't forget, there's another Million Dollar Monday coming up next week. You get a chance to win Rams tickets, and you get a shot at $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know if you got it. I got an email today from Amanda saying that we're not making a big enough deal about Million Dollar Mondays. I think she's probably right. We used to give away crap.
Yeah,
when you
sure.
and I started, and now we're giving away $1 million.
Yes, true.
$1 million.
And her question was, why aren't you guys making a bigger deal out of that? And I think she's right. We do need to make a bigger deal out of it. I think that explain, Mace, how people can win $1 million. Because it's really anybody could do it. You need to get a little lucky.
Yeah, it's like playing the lottery.
But you don't have to be like a Jeopardy champion to win $1 million. It's not that intellectually hard.
Yeah.
You got to just be, you need a swag. You need a scientific wild ass guess, and it needs to come in.
Yeah. So every Monday you get a chance to win Rams tickets. And we do this on Travis and Sliwa, our show, and Sedano and Cap. And if you win, you get a shot at the $1 million. Every winner will give us their prediction of the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. And if you nail that, you get $1 million. Now, for some people, you look at it as fairly easy, I think, and for a lot of people to pick two Super Bowl teams. Like, I'm on Rams, Kansas City. Some people might be on Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Some people might be on Rams, Bills. Whatever that is, that's a very doable
I personally am on Raiders versus Raiders.
Yeah.
They're so good that the NFL's going to make an exception and let them represent both conferences.
Yeah, I am on Rams, Chiefs, and then the score is just the score. It's like playing the boxes, the squares on Super Bowl Sunday. Somebody's going to get it. So a shot at $1 million every single Monday, $1 million Monday, coming up this next week. All right, a lot of reaction on Twitter to greatest or favorite album of all time. Here are some of them. Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Great album.
Absolutely. Blink 182, Enemy of the State.
Good.
Violator
I wouldn't
by Depeche
put it,
Mode.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Blink 182 in there with, like, Thriller and Born to Run.
But again, think about it. Gil G, for some reason, it connected to him emotionally at a particular time in his life.
Right.
Cesar Haro says Master of Puppets, Metallica. Joey Jojo Shabadoo. That's a great Twitter handle. Joey Jojo Shabadoo says Linkin Park, Meteora, which is great. Pink Floyd, The Wall. A lot of love for Pink Floyd, The Wall. A ton.
All right, a lot
Kanye, 2007's Graduation album. Tupac, All Eyes on Me. Tupac, All Eyes on Me. Those are just some of them that have poured in. It's an interesting question because to me it's about where you are in life, where you were in life, and what you were doing. And I remember Purple Rain as being the beginning of my radio career, the very beginning. Yeah. I was like 18 years old.
And I'd just never seen anybody handle a guitar like that.
No.
You know, it would just – hey, Jorge, you'd know this. Is California Love on the Chronic?
No, that's a Tupac song. That's on
what's Tupac song.
The Chronic is Dr. Dre, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah. That was the first rap album anybody ever gave me. And I thought it was really good. But here's Richard in Colton. Hey, Richard, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Richard.
Good, Richard.
An album that I wanted to bring up, pretty much. You know, you mentioned, John, about, you know, where you were at when you first heard this album. This goes back to, like, my very first memory of music. Like, the very, very first memory of music was this album that my dad would constantly play, Pearl Jam's 10. I was born in 91, so that kind of busted the Seattle scene.
You were
grunge, around
baby.
That time. Exactly, yeah. And it always, either to this day, it just makes me think about my dad. Most importantly, that's kind of like our little connection that he got me into heavy metal music, grunge music, alternative, all rock. So, you know, to this day, when I think about that, just takes me back to, you know, being a little 2-3 year old, just hearing, you know, songs like Alive and Even Flow and Jeremy, and just the start of that grunge scene, you know. So Pearl Jam 10 is my favorite.
Okay, last thing for you, Richard. One more thing. Who do you like, Bucks or Rams on Sunday?
Let's just say go Raiders, Mace.
That's what I'm talking about, Richard.
Not one of you guys.
That's what I'm talking
All
about.
Right, thank you, Richard. Good story, though. Good story.
Hey,
okay, enough with the Raiders theme.
Charlie and Reseda. Hey, Charlie, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Charlie.
So earlier you said it, but for me it's Blink-182, the end of the state. I actually moved from Long Beach to Redondo, and it was my all-time favorite album growing up.
Yeah, that's interesting that Blink-182, I guess it's, again, Mace, the age you are when
the
this
age
music
you are
comes
and the time.
Out.
Yeah, Charlie, who do you like, Rams or Bucks?
Rams, all the way.
Yeah, nice. Whose house, Charlie?
Rams' house.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Charlie, for the call. I'm so excited for that game, by the way. I mean, it's the showcase game of the week.
Yeah, and it is. You mentioned it earlier. Sports Illustrated has their power rankings, and I follow them every week. This week, Tampa Bay's 1 and the Rams are 2. I can't remember the last time 1 played 2 in their power rankings.
No.
And
here's what they say, by the way. This is written by Mitch Goldich, the Power Rankings. He says, Rams were preseason darlings in many corners of the internet, including the Monday morning quarterback staff predictions. And the early returns have shown that, yes, Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay get along quite nicely. Last week, Connor Orr put the Rams number one in this very space. We'll know much more about the Rams team after this three-game stretch, including the Bucs, Cardinals, and Seahawks. But for now, I see a contender that I expect to get better as the season goes along.
Wow.
Now, the defense is going to be tested. I think it's like eight games in a row that Tampa has scored 30 or more points.
Yeah, I think they're going to score 30, but I think the Rams can score with them.
Me too.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be like 38-35. So we'll see who has the 38 and who has the 35. Here is Fat in L.A. Hey, Fat.
Yeah.
You're on 710
ESPN.
What's
up, boys?
What's up, man?
What's up,
fool?
Yo, so a couple things. You know, I'm one of the only Detroit Lions fans here in L.A.
Oh, God bless you, sir.
So, yeah, very sorry,
yeah,
Fat.
Well, I just, guys, there's no bad blood, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I wish Barry Sanders would have left and went and tried to get a ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I hear you, man.
Props to staff, you know?
So what do you think of Stafford? You were a Lions fan all those years. What do you think of Stafford?
Stafford's great. He's a baller, you know? But I mean, look, we had Barry Sanders, greatest running back ever, Calvin Johnson, best wide receiver ever, and Stafford, I mean, he's a class act, and it's good. Let the guy go get a ring, you know? I mean, rather than suffer like I do every Sunday here for the Lions. Hey, and Mace, I'm from T-Town, baby, so it's all about the mullet. I hear you, baby.
Nice, man.
What's the best album of all time?
Best album of all time, man. It's the Beastie Boys. License to Ill.
Was a monster hit.
Yeah, that's a great album. Great album. Good. Now, Fat, wait a minute. You're from Teton? You're from Toledo?
Yeah, baby. I remember you on 93.5.
Nice. Nice. I've got one remaining fan. Fat, thank you very much for the call, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
What were the call letters at 93.5?
93QWRQN.
All right, and what type of format were you?
Top 40.
Just playing hits.
Did a morning zoo show.
Morning zoo.
Did like a 35 share in T-Town.
Yeah, those don't happen anymore.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. So I moved to L.A. twice. When I finished college in 1987 at Bowling Green, I had been doing radio, right? I was doing morning drive and all that stuff the entire time I was in college. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try my hand at movie production. So in 1987, I moved out to L.A., and I was looking for production jobs, and I got a couple. I got a couple of really good production jobs, but I wanted to be on radio in L.A. And so one morning, there was a guy named Rick Dees, who was the morning guy at KISS FM. It's now like Ryan Seacrest, so he was the equivalent of Ryan Seacrest. And I bought a dozen donuts, and I put my audition tape in the donuts, and I left it out front their door. That's how desperate I was to get on L.A. radio.
You left it at Rick Dees's door at the radio station?
Exactly. At Rick Dees's, at the front door of KISS FM, I left a dozen donuts with my audition tape.
Did it work?
I went back to Toledo and did morning drive again. I call that a failure. A sad, sad, desperate
All right, let's
failure.
Squeeze one more in here. Jerry in Vermont. Hey, Jerry, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, Steve and Mace.
Steve and Mace.
My favorite album. Steve and Mace.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm
John
just
in
kidding,
Ireland.
I know. My favorite album is Bob Marley, Legend.
Michael might be with you. Album. Michael Thompson loves Bob Marley.
That's a great album.
Hey, Steve, this is your former neighbor with the comic books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember, man. I remember. What are you doing in Vermont?
I moved.
Wow.
You're listening to us in Vermont. Yeah. Is it starting to get cold in Vermont yet?
No, it's still fall.
Okay.
It's great out here.
Yeah,
awesome.
Fall is great back east. Well, Jerry, I hope you keep listening. Thank you very much, man.
Well, I listen every day to you guys.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah.
See, Mace,
moved to Vermont.
We are the number one sports radio show among people in Vermont that listen to the radio in L.A.
Yes, we are number one. With people in Vermont who listen on the stream to a station in L.A., Thank you, Vermont.
Very proud of that.
We appreciate you. All right, coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Bergman, Bergie is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it's Jump Ball time. Bergman, what do you got? Let's get some pace on this thing. Chop, chop.
All right, let's move along. All right, it's time to play a little game. It's time to play a little game of fun with NFL stats.
Okay.
Does that work? Fun with NFL
stats? Yeah, sure.
Fun with NFL stats. It's a game inside of a game.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Inception.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's Inception.
Ooh, I liked it that way.
Oh, yeah.
We can do a game inside of a game inside of a game.
Oh, man, I'm in.
All right, so running quarterbacks are all the rave right now, so I want you guys to name me the top five quarterbacks by rushing yards through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, Lamar.
Lamar is number one with 193 yards. He's actually third in the NFL in rushing.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think Mace. I'm not saying this is one of them, but wouldn't Daniel Jones from the Giants be on there somewhere?
He does scramble a lot. Yeah, let's go Daniel. He's got no offensive line. Let's go Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is third with 122 yards. He's 19th in the league.
Okay, so Mace, I think I know who's second.
Okay.
Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah, got to be Kyler Murray.
Nope. He's not on the list.
Really?
Yep.
Not on the list.
Is it somebody obvious?
Oh, no, Mace, your guy, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is number
two
with 144 yards. He's 12th in the NFL.
Right, so what do we have so far, Greg?
You have Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones as your numbers 1, 2, and 3. And I'll give you a hint that the fifth is two guys tied. So you actually have three more people.
Russell Wilson.
Wait a minute. Russell Wilson hasn't been running as much this year. You sure? I think, Mace, it would more likely be Josh Allen. He runs a lot.
Okay, let's go Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is fourth with 79 yards. He's 33rd in the league, and nobody better be looking this up. So number five, you have two guys at number five.
And they're tied?
They are tied, yes.
I'm out of great. Okay. Go Russell Wilson. I say go Russell Wilson.
All right, we have two strikes left, Greg?
Yes, you have two strikes left.
Okay, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is not on the list.
Ah!
Okay, Mace, I got an idea, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
Carson Wentz used to run a lot, but did he get hurt in the first half or the second half?
Second half.
So what do you think of him?
He's like Houdini out there. Yeah, we'll try Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz is one of those five. He's got 60 yards. There's one more.
One
more tied with 60 yards, and that's 44th in the league.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I'm out of good ideas.
The only other guy I can think of is Tannehill. I think he runs a lot.
No, it is not Ryan Tannehill. But you did get five of them. Jared Goff. Jared Goff is tied for fifth.
Never would have guessed that.
Oh, man. He's not a guy that runs the football. What is he like?
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that Jared Goff has more yards rushing than Kyler Murray?
And Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Kind of crazy, right?
Most of
that must be scramble, running for his life, I think.
He did have a long run last night. All right. The next one is back in 1998, Casa Sanchez in San Francisco ran a promotion for free tacos for life. Okay. The story was just an update about two guys that are still getting the tacos, but none of that matters. I just needed a jumping off point.
Yep.
Do you know something about this place, Jorge?
I don't.
Okay, you got excited.
Because I'm the Mexican one.
It made me think about when you guys gave away a fast track performance if they got a Mason in Ireland tattoo, and one guy did on his leg.
One guy did.
Yeah,
sure.
Christian Flores, great dude.
So what about bringing this promotion back? Get a Mason in Ireland tattoo and blank. You can do jump ball for a day, or you can do something else. What do you think?
Wait, I like it. I like the idea, but Mace, remember we brought in a group of listeners? Christian was ex-military, right?
Correct.
Was it Veterans Day where we had all those guys come in and they all knocked it out of the park?
Yes.
I think what
Bergman's suggesting is let somebody do jump ball if they get a Mason in Ireland tattoo.
Oh, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you don't even. Or it can be something else. I mean, we can figure out something.
But it's like the equivalent of doing fast track.
Right.
I say yes. If you get a Mason in Ireland tattoo.
Well, first one to do it.
You got to
send us visual evidence.
You get to come in and do fast track.
Well, you don't get to come in.
I'm sorry, you get to come in and do jump ball.
You might have to join us for jump ball. You get to do it over the phone. You might have to do it over the phone because of the pandemic.
We will make you a star if you get a Mason in Ireland tattoo.
Yeah, why not? And by the way, that guy who got the Mason in Ireland tattoo, took it really seriously, did his homework. We've actually brought him in twice. Didn't we hook him up with Brian Long down in San Diego?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing now, but we did hook him up with a radio station down in San Diego. I'm not sure he was working for him at one point.
He was like a great guy. So that the last time we did this, it was totally worth it.
So there you have it.
So J.J. Redick has decided to hang up the sneakers after a 15-year career.
Could be an announcer tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, where he missed the postseason. Well, you're getting ahead of yourself, John. He missed the postseason one time, and it came last year. I know I was hoping the Lakers would pick him up at some point. I think a lot of Laker fans were. But what happens to Redick post-career? Was he good enough shooter to be a Hall of Famer, or where do you put his career, and what does he do next?
He's not a Hall of Famer, because I always think, go with your gut. My gut doesn't say J.J. Redick to the Hall of Fame. Does it for you, John?
No, I don't even know if J.J. was ever an All-Star. And I would think somebody, you'd have to be an All-Star at least once.
Yeah, his career average is 12.8 points per game.
Greg, if you listen to his podcast, I think he's a natural to go to TNT or ESPN or even be a game analyst.
He's very good on his podcast.
He was really great on his retirement announcement.
Yeah.
He had a great retirement announcement.
He's that guy. So I would think you'll see him in some type of broadcasting role moving forward.
Yeah, and although not a Hall of Famer, he was a hell of a shooter. He's a hell of a shooter in his career.
Was in the NBA Finals against the Lakers in 2009 when he played for Orlando.
Oh, that's right.
The Lakers won that series.
So last night was a weird night. There was no Dodger game, and the Monday night game ended pretty early.
Yeah.
Early enough that I had some time before going to bed. I was looking for something to watch, and I'm going to be honest, I could not find anything to watch.
Really?
Oh, you should have called me.
Well, this is why we're doing this now. What are a few shows that I should start watching, old or new, doesn't matter, that can be a go-to when there's no sports on at night?
Okay, Mace, I want you to include Juan in this discussion after the show. I'm not kidding. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City
is the greatest Real Housewives
show of all time.
Zero chance.
This is where Juan and I have our big... He loves all that stuff, and I just do not get it.
It is five train wrecks just trying to get themselves through life, and it'll make you feel better about yourself.
I saw Kyle Richards at the Rams game.
I love her.
She was there with Mellencamp?
Teddy Mellencamp?
Yeah. John Mellencamp's kid?
Yep. Yeah, Teddy's not on the show anymore, but she was on it last year.
Yeah. Greg, I would say you're watching Ted Lasso, right?
Yes, I love Ted Lasso.
Okay. I would say
Are you watching The Morning Show?
Yes, I am watching
on
The Morning
Apple
Show.
TV?
Coming on Friday, the new one.
Check out Hacks.
Hacks.
Yeah, I've never seen that. I heard it's good.
It's really good. Watch the movie Coda.
I've already seen it. Amazing.
You've already seen it.
I didn't cry.
Yeah, you
cried.
Something's
heartless.
Wrong with you.
Tin Man.
Something serious.
Yeah, you are.
You
have no heart. That is
no heart.
I mean, is that shocking to anybody in this?
You know what I watched last night that was pretty good on Peacock was the Dan Brown Lost Symbol.
Huh.
It's just like Da Vinci Code, only it's in Washington. Pretty good. It's on Peacock. I thought that was pretty good.
By the way, Greg, do you get Hulu?
I do.
All right. This sounds crazy. One night I was like in the boat you were in, just surfing around for stuff to watch, couldn't find anything. And I watched old 30 Rocks with Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey, and
it
was
good. Super
funny.
They hold up super. They're just great. You can watch them anytime.
All right, I'll give a shot.
Okay, by the way, I'll give you guys a documentary to watch. I've got to look up the exact name of it. But so the same people that did Malice in the Palace on Netflix.
Yes.
That's part of a series of documentaries.
Right, right.
And the next chapter is this story about... I couldn't believe I'd never heard it before. So there is a guy in Connecticut who is, just like Tony Soprano, Mace, is in the waste management
heard about
business.
This. Got it. Looks so good.
It's called Crime and Penalties on Netflix. It is, okay, I'll give you the elevator pitch.
Yep.
Guy is Tony Soprano. He buys a minor league hockey team. He makes his 17-year-old son president and GM. And the son goes out and signs every goon he can find. And at every game, they are, like, when the puck drops, his guys are dropping gloves and beating the crap out of people. Nobody wants to play him. They get good and make it all the way to the cup finals, and I won't tell you what happens after
that. Wow. Okay, it's called Crime and Penalties,
Crime and Penalties,
and it's on Netflix.
On Netflix. About the mob in Connecticut and a kid owning a hockey team. It's
all
great.
Over that.
Yeah. All right, last one. I heard Travis and Alan talking about this today and wondered how you guys would fix this. So you're going to fix the MLB playoffs right now. They're very silly. The Dodgers and Giants are the best teams in Major League Baseball,
yes.
Period. It's easy to say. But the Brewers are going to play a barely above 500 Braves team in the playoffs, while
yes.
The Dodgers and Giants will most likely end up playing each other in the DS after playing in the wild card. How do we fix this for future years?
It's easy. You do what the NBA does. You seed them by record.
Yeah, you seed them. That way the Dodgers could seed the Giants in the NLCS.
And it also values the regular season more. So it makes the regular season games more important. So in this case, if the season ended today, the Giants would be the number one seed, the Dodgers would be the number two seed, and they could not meet unless it was in the NLCS.
God, can you imagine Dodgers-Giants in the even in the DS?
We're getting them in the DS.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to happen.
As long as the Giants win their wild card game.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question about that.
Yeah.
Dodgers and Giants finish dead even, okay?
Yeah.
If that happens, even though the Giants won the season series, they do not award the Giants a division. It would be a one-game playoff
yes.
in San Francisco on Monday, and then the loser of that game would play in the one-game playoff on Tuesday.
Yep.
How?
The Packers, Tuesday, it would be Monday, and then they play Wednesday.
It would be Wednesday?
Wednesday would be the wild card, yeah.
Okay, so if that happened, Dodgers-Giants finish with identical records.
Yep.
And you had fresh Scherzer. Okay,
yep.
You have fresh Scherzer, you have Bueller, you have Kershaw. Do you use Scherzer in the game with the Giants to try and win the division, or do you hold him for the one-game playoff?
You throw him in game 163.
Do you?
Without thinking about it, yeah.
It's that important?
Oh, that important, yeah. There's a huge difference.
Because you're in the playoffs either way, win or lose.
You think that one-game playoff is going to be easy.
I think it is if he's pitching.
One-game playoffs can go either way. Unexpected stuff happens. You're talking about 54 outs. Anything can happen. I want to avoid that at all costs. You can throw Bueller in the wild card game if you have to, but you throw Scherzer in game one.
Do whatever you can to win the division.
Absolutely. Bergman?
Huh. Agreed. Totally agreed with everything you said.
I don't want that one game playoff. I do not want it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be as big of a problem as you guys do. I think the Dodgers win it, and they're on to the next round.
Well, I still think we win the division. All right, coming up next for you, Pete Carroll says they've opened a can of worms in the NFL.
Really?
They've opened a can of worms.
By
you know what
doing what?
I will tell you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.